Johann Sebastian Bach turns 329 this month, and a grand celebration is planned by the Cincinnati Collegium and organized by Christopher Eanes, who's here in the studio with me. The program is an eclectic one featuring outstanding musicians, and it's a program series that I think the master would very much enjoy. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
What inspired you to create the Cincinnati Bach Festival a year short of Bach's 330th birthday?
I didn't realize he was turning 329 until you said it today. I wasn't really thinking about his age. I was thinking more about how pertinent his music still is after all these years and how it still really speaks to us. If you ask any musician out there, regardless of what they say their favorite music is, they will likely all tell you that Bach was the greatest composer. And he deserves a festival, frankly, in the same way that we continue to celebrate the works of Shakespeare and they remain a staple part of theater repertory these days. Bach's music is exactly the same way. You know, I like to say, if there hadn't been Bach, then certainly we wouldn't have had Mozart or Beethoven, but we also wouldn't have had the Beatles. And so it's music that we want to continue to explore because of what it can tell us about ourselves.
What music has special resonance for you in that huge canon?
Bach was one of the most prolific composers that ever lived. It's just days and days worth of music that he wrote. And you would think that it would all, in a way, sound the same since he turned out so much music, but it really doesn't work that way. Each piece is so unique. And when you open a new piece of music by Bach, you can't go, oh, well, this is what the other one was like, so this is what this is going to be like. It's different. And you have to approach it with different eyes and different ears. And that's really the beauty of it. One of the things we're focusing on in the festival is moving a little sort of chronologically through his life. The music on this festival was largely written before he was 25 years old. He started working professionally when he was 18 and even younger and wrote some phenomenal music. So what we're getting is the young, exuberant, and experimental Bach. Sometimes the only pieces that we're exposed to are the Two Passions and the B minor Mass. For the people out there who are real Bach fanatics, you know, those are the big works. But the cantatas, of which he wrote over 300, are some of the most extraordinary music out there. And they range in size and scale from just a few players and 10 minutes long all the way up to 35 minutes and full orchestra. So we're going to be experimenting with all of that in the most beautiful setting, or one of the most beautiful settings in the city, I think, which is the Centennial Chapel at Christ Church Cathedral.
Tell us about the program lineup, because there is quite, as I said earlier, an eclectic one. And it's not only Bach.
On a lot of Bach festivals, people will stray fairly far from the canon. We're actually sticking relatively close to it. The first concert I've entitled Two Weddings and a Funeral, because we've got three cantatas on the program, as you can probably tell. Two are for that he wrote for weddings, and one he wrote for a funeral. They're each extraordinary in their own way. The one that I really enjoy, he wrote only about 2 months after his own wedding. It wasn't for his wedding, but his wedding was fresh in his mind, and it was written for his, basically an aunt of his new wife. And you can just imagine her saying, oh, Johann, would you just please write a cantata for this occasion, and dragging him to the wedding. It's short, it's 12 minutes long, but it's absolutely beautiful, and there's a funny little moment in there where the couple getting married was fairly advanced in years, and there's one little piece of the cantata, a little text that he had to include, which talks about their offspring and generations to come. And he just tried to play that down as much as he could because he was worried that the married couple maybe weren't going to have children. So there are all these little moments in Bach that, whether you pick up on them or not, they just really add to making a lot of fun. That's the first program. The second program, we've invited Dwight Perry, who's the principal oboist of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, to put on a recital, and we gave him some creative freedom to figure out what he would like to do. The oboe, of course, is just one of the most fabulous instruments from the Baroque period. The instrument has changed a bit, but really the beauty of the Baroque music is told through the oboe. And he invited some of his friends along from the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, so they'll be joining him on what is actually a very eclectic program, a couple of pieces from the Baroque period, not just by Bach, but by his son, J.C. Bach, a piece by Albinoni, another Baroque composer. And then he's closing the program, and I'm so thrilled about this, with a piece by Peter Schickele, who is also known as PDQ Bach. They call him the youngest of Bach's sons?
No, the least of Bach's many sons.
The least of Bach's many sons, of which he had many. PDQ Bach writes a lot of satirical music, but his alter ego, Peter Schickele, writes really wonderful serious music. And the piece that is going to be premiered on this program, I think it's only ever been performed one other time, is called After Hearing Bach. And it's his reflections having sat through a concert of Bach's works and what he was feeling afterwards. And to be honest, I'm going to be as surprised as anyone. I haven't heard the piece yet, but I think it's going to add a really nice moment to that concert. The third concert in this series is going to be held at St. Thomas Episcopal Church up in Terrace Park with the Cincinnati Bach Ensemble led by Carlton Monroe. They do a Bach Vesper series wherein every month they do Bach cantatas and other music around that in the liturgical context, so very much in the way that you would have heard of Bach Vespers 300 years ago. They've got some wonderful repertoire planned for that concert. We have two events between that and our final program of the festival. The one is Music Live at Lunch at Christ Church Cathedral, and you can come down and hear about 30, 40 minutes of music and have lunch while you listen, and a nice lunch break for anybody in the downtown area. One of the fun events that we have planned for this year's festival is Bach After Dark, which is going to be a short concert by the Young Professionals Choral Collective, doing a little bit of Bach's music turned into almost a vocal jazz style, which, if you haven't heard it before, made popular by the Swingle Singers, and just a really cool take on Bach, plus some special guests. And that's going to be on Tuesday night, March 25th. At Below Zero Lounge. And so we encourage you to come and grab what we're calling a Bach tail and enjoy your evening. Our final program is really going to look at sort of the launching of Bach's career in earnest and some of the influences that he had and the music he wrote as a result. There's a famous story of Bach walking. He asked his employers for leave from his job to go hear the famous organist Dietrich Buxtehude play the organ. And he walked 100 miles to hear him. And he didn't stay away 2 weeks. He instead stayed away 4 months because he was so entranced by this composer's music and came back with many ideas in his head. Now, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the music that Buxtehude had written that Bach went to hear. It's been lost. But what we do have is what Bach wrote on his return to his job. And so we're going to hear a little bit of that with winds and brass and lots of singers, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And we are going to hear a piece by Buxtehude that may have played a part influencing the young Bach.
Well, it's really extraordinary to think that Bach was nearly forgotten after his death in 1750, but thanks to Felix Mendelssohn, who found the score of the St. Matthew Passion and performed it, it created a revival, and Bach has never been out of the rep ever since.
Yeah, it's true. Bach, even though he was revered in his own time as being a great master, he was also considered very outdated. Turns out the people who considered him outdated, it's actually their music right now that's not being performed very much. So there's some irony there. Mendelssohn found the score of the St. Matthew Passion in the early part of the 19th century and decided he wanted to put the piece on. And so he started with some of his friends in a living room. And then the project just grew and grew and grew. And I'm guessing a little bit, but I think the final performance ended up using quite literally hundreds of performers. And ever since then, we've really looked to Bach to inform how we do a lot of things. And as I said before, Bach plays a role in every musician's training. When you want to sort of start over and reexamine your technique as an instrumentalist or as a singer, as a conductor, when you want to get back in touch with really just the pure essence of music, you go back to Bach, and it makes you a better person, makes you a better musician. And hearing his music in an intimate space up close, the way it was meant to be heard originally, really can be a life-changing experience. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, speaking of things growing and growing, this is the first annual Bach Festival, so you obviously have more seasons planned.
We have some great ideas about next year. Again, we're moving somewhat chronologically, so one of the things we're thinking about is doing all 6 of the Brandenburg Concertos. And there will be a lot of organ music on next year's festival. But one thing at a time, we want to focus on this year and have a wonderful festival. We decided to hold it in the intimate space of the Christ Church Chapel, which only seats 100 people, because we felt that it really gave the audience an intimate experience. And whether or not you are something of a Bach nerd and are really excited about this, or whether you're a first-time listener of this style of music, it's going to move you. That said, we only have 100 tickets available for each concert, and they've already started to sell.
Well, it sounds like a great party, and it's going to be a lot of fun. My guest has been Christopher Eanes, Artistic Director of the Cincinnati Bach Festival, which begins on Sunday, March the 9th, and continues throughout the month. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Arenstein.